God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Today I'd like to talk with you about eyes. The eyes of God. The eyes of the Lord. What does God see? Does He have eyes? Does He behold those things that are done in the heavens? Does He see all that goes on upon the earth? How much does He see? How much does God observe of what goes on? Is it just a little bit or a lot? Is there none or everything? Well, let's take a look today and see how the knowledge of this as Christians, the knowledge of the truth about this, changes us and super helps us in our life as we live our lives before God to understand the eyes of God and what He actually sees. So as we think about eyes, first of all, eyes are pretty amazing things, aren't they? I mean, if you look at the internet, we have 130 million rods and 7 million cones in each of our eyes. Can you believe that? That's amazing. You can see, according to at least Wikipedia, 10 million different shades of color. How is that even possible? But eyes are absolutely fantastic. They're maybe our favorite sense. Some people say maybe the ears would be the best, and maybe that's true, but eyes we kind of cherish the most because we can see so many wonderful things. We can see our loved ones, right? Husband and wife. We can see our children, our friends, our family. We can see God's sky, His mountains, His sea, His forest, the stars. How beautiful to see the things that we can see. We can see danger coming at us and run away from it. We can see pleasure and run towards it. Eyes are just amazing things, and pretty much all creatures have eyes. God's given them to each of His creatures. They're super, super important to have eyes. Now, eyes also are, as you know, one poet said, Emerson, eyes are the windows to the soul, where you can see in a person's eyes his spirit, his heart, how he's feeling. Isn't that true? So you can see somebody who is, what?
Grumpy.
Grumpy, oh yeah, or, you know, sad, or happy and excited, joyful. You can see someone who's angry or someone who's compassionate. You can see all different kinds of things in a person's eyes, their emotions, their feelings, their state, whether they're awake or they're tired or they're crestfallen or they're exuberant, or all these different kinds of things you can see in the eyes. You can even see, don't you think, faith and Jesus Christ? You know, I remember coming up to a street one time over on 520, and there was a guy playing blaring heavy metal rock music, and he looked over at me. If looks could kill, the eyes were steel cold death. And it looked like hell, basically, devilish. I mean, it looked like he could have killed me. I'm glad the light changed and I could keep going. But you've also seen Christ in people's eyes. I know sometimes I meet people on my boat. I have guests come on my boat, and I can see instantly just looking into them, especially when I say, hey, I'm not only a captain, I'm also a pastor. And you can see their eyes, a pastor. Or other people like, oh, a pastor. 2 hours on a boat with this guy. No. But I can see in their eyes, lighting up at the name of Jesus, awake, alive, this person has salvation. So you can see all kinds of things in a person's eyes, and eyes for each of us are absolutely amazing gifts of God, super, super designed. Let me ask you a question. Does God Almighty have eyes? Can the Lord actually see what goes on in the earth? You know, you might know the answer to that, but most of the world pretty much operates that God can't see, okay? Even unbelievers a lot of times can think God doesn't see everything. And if you look at the Bible, in, let's take a look at Psalm 64. Look at what we read there. And this is holds true throughout the course of history, that the wicked have secret plots. The evildoers scheme. They sharpen their tongues like swords. aim bitter words like arrows, shoot an ambush at the blameless, shooting Adam suddenly without fear. They hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see us? Who can search out our crimes? We have thought out a cunningly deceived plot. Isn't that true? That those who do not know God don't think he has eyes, and they think he cannot see what we're up to. We can do things in secret, dark places and in shadows where nobody sees us, and we can get away with what we're getting away with. That's how the world operates. Psalm 10 also says, the hapless is crushed, sinks down and falls by the evil person's might. The evil person thinks in his heart, God's forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Isn't that true? Most people in the world operate as if God can't see what's going on the earth, that he has no eyes to see. Why do they not think he has eyes to see? Number one, because unbelievers
don't believe
there is a God. So how can there be no God who sees something? There is no God, says the fool in his heart. So nobody sees me because there ain't nobody there. The second reason is they think, well, maybe even if there is a God, he doesn't see everything. Because who can see everything? How can you keep tabs on everything that goes on in the earth? Surely I can do stuff in secret places where the Lord doesn't see me and I can get away with it. And therefore the heart of men is fully set upon doing evil because they think they can get away with it. Do you know that even believers kind of operate this way to some degree? If you look over at, look at Adam and Eve when they sinned, right? In Genesis 3, it says they ate of the forbidden fruit, and then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and what did they do? They hid themselves among the trees of the garden. Got down behind a tree. Is that going to avail against God? But that's what all of Adam and Eve's children do to this day. They think, oh, if I go hide behind a tree or a locked door, God surely cannot see beyond there. You know, remember Superman, even Superman? He can see through everything supposedly except lead. He's like, and you think God doesn't see? Trees don't stop God from seeing things. But even Jonah, if you remember him, he wanted to flee from the presence of the Lord. He got in a boat. He's like, I'll go sail away and I'll go to Tarshish. God can't find me there. Wrong, Jonah. And God hurled down a storm after him and brought him to where he needed to be. So even believers, even Christians, we can sometimes operate or at least forget that God can see everything. And he's always there observing what goes on. Is he here in this room today? Yes. Is he watching you right now? Is he watching me preach? Is he right here in this place, observing it? Well, the wicked don't believe such a thing. They believe that God does not see. And see how God, though, does he have eyes? Does he see? Let's see what he says to the wicked in Psalm 94. In Psalm 94, God says, they pour out arrogant words. They boast all the evildoers. They slay the widow, they murder the fatherless, and they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. God then says, but understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? And then we read on from there. So, is it a foolish or a wise thing to think that God, well, let me phrase it this way. Does God have eyes? Yes. He created your eyes. He put eyes into every one of the creatures. Surely, logically even, there must be the designer has eyes if he put eyes into all of his creatures. But you know, the world just operates as if they can get away in darkness. They don't believe it. You can see that in politics in our day, can't you? Oh my goodness, the things that people are trying to get away with today. Misleading statements, false reports, wicked and evil schemes done in backdoor rooms. You see all kinds of horrible stuff. Even you've heard over the years email scandals. where tens of thousands of emails have been written in secret places, and then one day something arrives at the door called a subpoena, and overnight they all just disappear. With the FBI or the IRS, and then you have the Clinton emails and stuff, things done in secret quickly are swept back under the rug, hoping to make them disappear, that the light of the eyes not see it. You can see that also in businesses where people do backroom shady deals to gain advantage and crush their neighbor to gain the advantage. You can see it in churches where there should be light. Sometimes there is darkness, where people in my position of a leader of a congregation have abused children or done evil deeds, thinking, God doesn't see, I can get away with this. The only way they can do this is if they don't believe God sees them. If they knew God was standing right there, watching them the whole time, they would not do such things. And people all over the world, the same way, they think that they can do things where God does not see what they are up to. But again, God says to them, "He who formed the eye, does he not see? When will you get wisdom, O fools? I created the eye, of course I see. I can see everything that goes on upon the earth. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord God has made them both." And think about Hagar in the Bible. She was, remember, the mistress of Abraham, and Abraham went into her and gets Ishmael. But Sarah didn't like Hagar, of course, and she drove her away into the wilderness. And Hagar goes running away, very sad. "Oh, I'm all by myself in the world. I'm pregnant, and I'm cast out," she says. But we read here in Genesis 16, the Lord, angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, maid of Sarai," and she's, "where have you come from and where are you going?" She says, "I'm fleeing from my mistress Sarai." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her. I'll greatly multiply your descendants," etc. And then she says to him, so she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "Thou art a God of seeing." Right? You ever sad and forlorn and cast off by the world and you think, "I'm all by myself, I'm going to go off here and nobody knows where I am"? Guess who's there? God's watching you. He finds you where you are and he brings a word of comfort to you. Our Lord sees. Amen?
Amen.
What are his eyes like, though? God's eyes. If you could see him right now, what would they look like, Alice? Yours are blue, right? I can't see that far. My eyes have trouble. In my glasses. Other people have brown eyes. There you go. Some people have brown eyes, all different types of color eyes. What are God's eyes colored like? Let's just take a look in Revelation 19, verse 12. We read his eyes, Jesus' eyes, who is God, are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, many crowns. Think about if you could see God's eyes right now, and he is with us right in this room, his eyes would be like burning torches, like flames of fire. And what does the Lord see? Well, his eyes are pure, just burning with purity and holiness. And the Bible says that he can see everything. The eyes of the Lord, according to Zechariah 4, says they range throughout the whole earth. Think about that. They're constantly running this way, looking, seeking, observing that which goes on upon the earth. It says in Psalm 33, the Lord looks down from heaven, from where he sits enthroned. He looks forth on all the inhabitants of the earth, on the world. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. So think about this. I got these flashlights in here from, thank you, Lynn, today. But imagine the eyes of the Lord. How do you turn this on again? Imagine that. You think you're in darkness, but his eyes are constantly penetrating. And when they look down upon the earth and see you, what does he penetrate to? To the very heart and soul. Before him no creature is hidden, but all are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Flames of fire, piercing and penetrating to the very heart and soul of who you are. He can see everything. You're naked, not naked and afraid, you're naked and exposed before the Lord. Amen? His eyes run to and fro, back and forth through the earth. He sees every sparrow, Jesus says. Not a sparrow falls in the wilderness, but the Father knows it, and it's by his will. He counts the number of hairs upon your head. When one of them falls off as you get to be 50 like I am, he knows it. He saw it. I didn't even see it. He comprehends the expanse of the earth. He walks in the recesses of the deep, in the deep caverns of the oceans. He sees all that goes on in places you've never seen and love will never even hear of. He knows the way to the dwelling of light. He knows to the place, way to the place of darkness. He knows where the storehouses of the hail and the snow are. He binds the chains of the Pleiades and looses the cords of Orion in the stars. His eyes also test the children of men. So what is God doing when he's looking upon the earth? He's not just checking it out like he's a couch potato watching TV. He is running, searching, looking for what?
Justice.
Faith, justice, truth. He's looking for the eyes of those who are looking to him. And when he finds that, he runs to act mightily on behalf of those who have faith in him. He's also looking for justice, like you said, Michael, to avenge wrongdoing and evil. Are there secret places to which a person can run? His eyes are upon the ways of man. He sees all his steps. There is no gloom or deep darkness where evildoers may hide themselves, says the scriptures. And if a person turns to mediums and wizards and wickedness and such things, God will set his face against such a person. But Noah found favor in the what? Eyes of God. He saw, there's a man who looks to me. Faith. And he worked salvation for him. And so the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, says Peter, and his ears toward their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those that work evil. So how is all this good news for you today on this beautiful day? Well, the good news for us, first of all, is as Christians, since we know that God sees everything we do, how does that change your perspective when it comes to temptation and sin? Makes you want to run away from it, right? I saw an evangelist on YouTube one time talking about when he was younger and he was unsaved and he took a girl out into a field thinking he could get somewhere with her. She happened to be a Christian. And they ran into the field from this party, and he thought, here's my chance. I'm all alone with the girl I want to be with. And she said, no. He says, why not? We're all alone. Who's to see us? And she said, the Lord sees what we're doing. She had the heart of a Christian. And what happens at that point? They turned and ran away from evil because he always remembered that. And years later, when he became a Christian, he's like, she knew God sees everything we do. It's by the fear of the Lord that men depart from evil. Let me ask you, is there anything in your life right now, today, that you wouldn't be doing if you thought God was watching you? How about if he was really close, like, Anything you'd be doing in secret that maybe you wouldn't be doing if the Lord was standing a foot away from you? I got news for you. He's standing a foot away from you. He's watching and observing everything. So the beauty of that for us as Christians today, to know that truth, is that we run away from evil, even in secret places where the world runs toward wickedness and evil. We don't. We run away from it. So that's a great news. The second great thing about this is that in secret places, it also causes us to run toward righteousness, doesn't it? What does Jesus say? In Matthew chapter 5, he says, when you give alms, when you give help to the poor, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, but give your gifts in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Does that encourage you today? That you don't have to do things out for everybody to see. You go into a secret place where nobody can see you. The knowledge that God sees gives you delight to run after good, even in places where nobody else looks, because you know that your Father is there It's a delight to his eyes, and you can please him in such things. Now, Cecile, I don't know if she's here today, but she makes little homeless bags for the poor. This last winter, I saw a guy that was homeless at our park near our house, and he was obviously destitute, and he had his bike. That's all he had. And he was sleeping in the cold of one wintry night, and I took one of those bags, and I thought, here, I'm going to go over there in secret and just lay it in the little basket of his bike and go away so that when he wakes up in the morning, he sees a gift from the Lord with a little scripture on it. That is what the knowledge of the eyes of the Lord does to us Christians. God sees in secret. We can enjoy doing service to him in secret places, knowing that Father and Son are having a great time and it's rewarded. So it drives us toward the things that are good when you remember God sees. Thirdly, and this is super important for us today, it helps us from getting too frustrated with the world. Are you a little frustrated today? Very bad people are on the march in our present world of darkness. There are people in high places in the government, high places in medical fields, high places in churches, high places in school systems that are doing horrific things that make us pull out our hair. Like, how can they say a boy is a girl and a girl is a boy? They're teaching that in schools? Doesn't that make you frustrated? Yes. You think they're getting away with it. The evildoers are just ramping up and they're never being called to account. But we know the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good, and he comes to avenge such things. And so we hope and pray for their repentance if possible, and if not, we know that soon justice will fall. And so you don't have to be as frustrated because, you know, even if they seem to be getting away with it right now, guess what? God sees every last little thing done in secret, dark places, and he's bringing the justice to set everything right. And so that also helps us a lot, that the Lord is working. And fourthly, his eyes are upon us for good. 2 Chronicles 16 says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show his might on behalf of those whose heart is blameless toward him." And again, Psalm 33, "The eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine." Do you guys know that God's eyes are looking over you right now? Because you're his children in Jesus Christ, and he's watching over you for your protection. When we look at the future, it seems so dark. How am I going to find my way through all this? And yet the one who holds my hand, his eyes pierce the darkness, he sees the way, and he also watches over to protect us. When Naomi was just a little tiny girl, and we were at the beach, and she's playing around in the water, and she didn't know anybody's watching her. Who was watching her? Her father, at a distance, making sure everything was okay. I always knew where she was. And when she gets into anything that looks like trouble, I'm right there to help her. When she's making a sandcastle, I'm right there to enjoy it with her. When we go into the waves, I'm there to protect her and to hold her up and to bring her out and come out of that safe and sound and joyful. God watches over you today in the same way in Jesus Christ. Is there a place you can go, Nancy, to escape him? No. Even if you take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there his right hand shall hold you and lift you up. He saw you when you were in your mother's womb, it says. When you were being made in the secret place, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. God says when you were in your mom's womb, my eyes beheld your unformed substance. In my book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for you, even when there was as yet none of them. Oh, how precious are God's thoughts towards you. He knows when you sit down. He sees when you rise up. He discerns your thoughts from afar, and daily his hand upholds you. If you even want to run away into darkness, says Psalm 139, and say, let all the darkness cover me, even the darkness is not dark to thee. For the night is as bright as the day. I'm there watching over you, seeing every move, keeping and guarding your paths and bringing you to my wonderful kingdom. That's what the Christians know. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. And lastly, and most especially, his eyes are upon you in Jesus Christ for salvation. What did God see when he looked down on us originally? Sinners, rebels, enemies, wallowing in darkness, prisoners in the chains of the devil. He could have just looked on us in anger and cast us off and turned his face away from us. But instead, with his eyes, they just welled up with water in steadfast love. And he says, I looked and I saw that there was no man on earth to redeem them. I saw that there was no one to intervene. Then my own right hand brought me the victory. He sent Jesus Christ to take away all of our sins, wrongs, evils, crimes, things done in dark, secret places. Think of what those are. And he says, I'm going to erase all of those through the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. And you, now having believed in him and put your eyes on him by grace through the Holy Spirit, God looks down on you, and what does he see today? He says, Alice, you are a new creation. I see you, Ernie, as my own son and an inheritor of the kingdom to come. Maggie, I see all of your sins have been cast into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered against you anymore. And in you, I see I've placed Walter, my own Holy Spirit, securing you as a guarantee for the inheritance that is coming to you at the coming of my son, Jesus Christ. And many more wonderful things. When he looks upon you today, know that he looks upon you in Jesus Christ with that kind of love. And he's bringing us to that wonderful kingdom where one day our eyes are going to be made like his eyes, burning, fiery, beautiful eyes, where we can then see him face to face, as Job says, and we'll conclude with this. And he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, at the end of time, I shall stand upon the earth in my own flesh, and my eyes shall see my God on my side and not another. In Jesus' name, amen.